Today, we're going to be talking about the self-assessment tax return system. We're going to cover when you have to be in it, when you can get out of it, and all things in between. Welcome to the Tax Compass podcast, navigating UK tax for expats with LSR partners. Welcome to the Tax Compass podcast with LSR partners, with me, Simon Rue, and my business partner, Laura Sand.
Hi.
Today, we're talking about self-assessment. We sort of realized after a year now of the podcast that we probably ought to do something that's a bit more straight down the middle of the fairway. This is how self-assessment works. We get a lot of clients who, actually it's picked up recently where people have got letters randomly from HMRC with penalties. And often the penalties come because they've been in the self-assessment system at some point, but have then ended up leaving the country or whatever, thinking they don't have to do anything. HMRC merrily go along, issuing them with filing requirements, and suddenly they've got 6,000 quid of penalties on their account, which we have to sort out, which is not necessarily straightforward. And we'll come on to talk about that in a bit. But Laura, maybe you can start by just running through the basic requirements for doing self-assessment and some of the changes that have come through recently in terms of who has to do them.
No worries. So in terms of, I suppose you, if we go right back to basics, the UK tax year starts 6th of April, finishes the following 5th of April. If you need to file a tax return, that then needs to be filed by the 31st of January following the end of the tax year. So at the moment we are doing the 24-25 tax return season, finished on the 5th of April 2025, and we have until the 31st of January 2026 to get tax returns filed for that period.
Now, some people on that will say, well, I thought there was some reason I had to get it done by the 31st of October.
So you only have to do it by the 31st of October if you're filing a paper return, which I suppose a lot of our clients maybe are based outside of the UK or kind of under the current regime for 24-25, maybe are looking at claiming the remittance basis. So for those people, you can't file a tax return through the government gateway account. And in instances where people want to do it on their own, they might potentially want to look at getting a paper return to be filed with HMRC.
Because otherwise you have to use commercial software, right?
Yes, yes.
So, and it's the SA109, which is the residency pages that you can't get through your government gateway.
Correct.
And I remember making this sort of tactical error when I was overseas, because I did several of my tax returns through the government gateway, didn't tell HMRC that I was non-resident.
Yeah.
Because I was just declaring property income. So it didn't actually make a difference in that sense.
Yeah.
But then I think you probably told me off when I was your client and you were like, well, you shouldn't have done that. But, you know, these things happen.
It's one of those where I haven't seen it for a few years, but certainly during COVID, I was getting a few people getting in touch with us to tell me that they'd been filing their own returns through the government gateway account. They'd been living, I don't know, outside of the UK for a number of years, non-resident landlords reporting their rental income. They'd probably updated their address on the system, and HMRC had written to them to say, we're not accepting your return because it's not correct and complete because you haven't completed the residence pages. I mean, the starting point, if you are a UK tax resident, is your taxable in the UK on your worldwide income? For people who are non-resident or perhaps taxable on the remittance basis, you know, all of a sudden you're looking at potentially only being taxable on UK sources of income. And if you're not telling HMRC, hello, I'm non-resident here, or I'm not taxable on my worldwide income and gains, then HMRC are potentially likely to come knocking at your door later on down the line.
Well, we had a client, didn't we, who'd been living in South Africa for 15 years and had never told HMRC that he was now living in South Africa. And we had to, they wanted a big disclosure, didn't they? It was like, oh, sorry, actually, he was non-resident for that whole period of time.
Yes.
And I think the other thing that's a bit of a weird one in terms of filing timelines is the 30th of December, which always strikes me as an incredibly odd date, but then HMRC love that sort of stuff.
You're talking about capital gains for that?
I was talking about tax code changes.
Oh, okay, yes. So, it's one of those where if you have a liability on your tax return and it is less than £3,000, then on the face of it, it can be claimed through your tax code.
Yeah, so they effectively will amend your... So let's say you're on a standard 1257L tax code, which just gives you a standard personal allowance, they will actually change that tax code. So if you were to owe £2,000, they could change it to a 1057L tax code or whatever to reduce your personal allowance by the £2,000 that you owe, effectively. Or in fact, it would be slightly different to that, wouldn't it? But they effectively adjust it so that you end up paying more tax through BOE.
Yes, correct. But in terms of that, you have to get it filed by the 30th of December, as you say. If it's being filed in January and you have a liability, you're going to have to pay the liability through the tax return system by the 31st of January. Also, if your liability is higher than £3,000, then again, you're going to need to pay that through the self-assessment tax return system rather than allowing it to be taken through your tax code, unfortunately.
And so if you have those sorts of issues like residency and all the rest of it, you might not necessarily have to do a tax code if you've, for example, always been, sorry, not tax code, a tax return. If you leave the country, you might just be able to tell HMRC through a P85 form.
Yes. So the P85 form can be useful to tell HMRC that you're leaving the UK, but only if you're not within the self-assessment system. If you are within the self-assessment system, then filing that P85, they'll process it, but they're not going to issue any refund of any overpaid taxes to you. They'll tell you to just file a return at the end of the tax year. And actually, I had a look the other day for somebody who was considering possibly doing a P85 on top of doing a tax return, just to notify HMRC, so that, you know, belt and buckles and belt approach. And I think if you submitted it a paper P85 a couple of days ago, you were looking at the back end of June, so about 9 months delay to kind of get HMRC to even process the form in the first instance.
Yeah, it's ridiculous, isn't it?
So actually, ironically, it might even be quicker.
Get a tax return done. They actually process them quite quickly, don't they?
Yes. But unfortunately, as I'm sure we'll talk about shortly, it's not quite so easy to get into the tax return system if you're after a refund.
That's certainly very true, isn't it? So someone's in the tax return system. They're completing it by the relevant deadlines. In terms of things people should be aware of in terms of why you might need to enter the tax return system, and also some of the changes to HMRC, because there was always this thing. I mean, I remember when I had to start doing one, it was because my income levels were above a certain level. But I think they've taken that away now, haven't they?
They have. So that kind of got transitioned out over a couple of years. So historically, I think 2022-23 tax year, or up to then, if your income levels were above £100,000, you had to file a tax return. And that was to do with the fact that HMRC couldn't get your tax code right, or they were unlikely to get your tax code right if your income levels were in that transitional period.
If you started to lose your personal allowance.
Yeah, and if it was like a bonus especially that took you over that. In 2023-24, it was if your income levels were above £150,000, and now they've just removed that requirement in terms of income levels. So in general, it is because there are specific types of income that you might be getting that you haven't been paying tax on at source, and you need to report it. So some of the main reasons that you might need to file are if you're self-employed, partnership income, if you've got dividend income, because you've got your own limited company. When it comes to investment income, in general, you're looking at if your investment income is above £10,000. If not, I believe you're supposed to just contact HMRC and update them as to what you're doing, so they can kind of adjust tax codes, etc. for
like,
you.
Like, that's going to work.
Yeah, well, yes. If you've got rental income above £1,000, self-employment income at the moment, if it's above £1,000, it's
changing
to £3,000 reporting threshold anyway, but you have to...
But again, flag, that still doesn't mean you get to pay no tax on the £3,000.
Yeah. Higher income child benefit tax charge is one to take into consideration as well. And then there's usually if you've got any kind of unpaid tax at source on things like foreign income, they will want you to be reporting that as well. Also, if you were going to be making a claim under the remittance basis or the foreign income and gains regime, you would need to be reporting that through a tax return too. Those are the main reasons that you would need to file. In terms of needing to file a tax return, though, the things that are not included are because I've overpaid taxes on my employment income because actually I was non-resident and working for a UK-based employer and therefore I've overpaid, claiming treaty relief.
Yeah, and we've had real problems, haven't we, with trying to get for people who have a completely valid claim to get tax back.
Yes.
There's like, it's almost like they can sense that that's what you're calling them for, so they just don't answer the phone.
Yeah. Quite often, if you call up HMRC and say, well, we'd like to open a filing requirement, it used to be really straightforward, but now it is like pulling teeth out. So if you've got somebody who remained with a UK-based employer, left the UK, whether they only remained on for an extra few months or and before moving on to an overseas payroll, or whether they've just remained on a UK payroll and been working outside of the UK, and they've had taxes withheld, in that instance, a P85 will not reconcile the position. And we've had debates with HMRC where they've just refused to open it, and we've had to kind of really go to town in terms of explaining why we need that opening to be able to do so. Because if you don't have a filing requirement open and you're asking for a refund through your tax return, HMRC will not issue it. And then you have to go through an absolutely arduous process to get it opened and reconciled, because we have, when it comes to HMRC, we have the PAYE process and we have the self-assessment process.
The two processes do not talk to each other, do they?
They do not talk to each other unless you've got that filing requirement opened and they go, oh yes, we need to talk to each other.
And one thing that's worth noting, we've had this new thing which they're talking about more, which is what they call a simple assessment. So we've had a number of clients, haven't we, where, and the classic one is that people have been on the wrong tax code, their income has gone above 100 grand, and they get sent a reconciliation letter effectively that says, under the simple assessment system, you owe us another, what is it, 5,400 quid or whatever it always ends up being, which is the effectively tax at 45% on the personal allowance that they got through the tax code.
Yeah.
And it's worth noting that if you get one of those letters, it means you don't have a filing requirement to do a self-assessment. So then if you need to disclose anything else, you have to go through the rigmarole of trying to get them to open a filing requirement. It's also worth noting, of course, that if you do have that problem, we have a specialist SWAT team who are very good at it. Our client service director, Siobhan, is excellent at talking HMRC into all sorts of things. So if you need support around that, then we're definitely the right place to come to.
Yes, yes. Because as you say, I think there's a lot of people who, if they call up HMRC and you speak to somebody who doesn't understand what's going on, and, you know, as an individual, you might not necessarily understand quite what's going on, only that you need a filing requirement opening, and you come across and say sometimes it's like a brick wall until you start chipping away at it and going, yes, but they need it because of X, Y, and Z. Well, why? What about doing this? Well, it won't work because of this.
Yeah,
this,
no,
but
you have to
back it up with the reasons. Yeah,
exactly. It's one of those things, isn't it? It's almost like stopping people getting refunds is another one of the key ways in which the government's trying to raise more tax. It's just like, you know, let's hope that people are paying too much tax and we just won't give it back to them. So yeah, it is a war of attrition to get it going and get it back.
Yeah.
So it's hard to get in the system, especially if you need a refund. But if you are in the system, how do you get out of it?
That is a very, very good question. So in some instances, HMRC will automatically recognise the fact that you don't need to file a tax return in the future.
Example of that?
So say, for example, you've been renting out a property and it's the final year you're going to be renting out a property and you've ticked the box that says, I will no longer be renting out on property. That's one way of doing it. Same with, I think, self-employment income. If you have ticked the box to say, I've seen
this is the last year of it.
Yeah. Or if your situation and circumstances have changed and you've done a tax return where effectively all you've reported is employment income and nothing that kind of would sit outside the standard scope of requiring a tax return. Unfortunately, HMRC don't always automatically look at your tax return, because obviously with it being self-assessment, it's all kind of very much systems and processes, and it gets submitted. And fundamentally, unless it's selected for an inquiry or, you know, for further investigation, your tax return's looked at by a computer. So it's a computer that's trying to make the decision about whether you need to
do a
tax
return,
isn't
it? Because just as a bit of an aside, we've had scenarios where people have tried to do it themselves. They've just put a number in the wrong box. We have one client who suddenly ended up with 10,000 quid coming into their bank account from HMRC because they just automatically said, oh, they want that refund, we'll process it. And then they got into quite a lot of trouble because it was investigated because it was obviously flagged. So yeah, it's worth making that point, isn't it, around self-assessment really is what it says on the label, which is that and it's sort of slightly bizarre, but then given how shambolic the UK government is around most issues, it's not surprising. It's like, well, you've got to just have a go yourself. And then, yeah, I think they usually do, 6 million tax returns or something like that. So I guess, yeah, they're never going to check them all.
No, and it's one of those where, in terms of self-assessment, it's quite nice and straightforward until you get an HMRC inquiry and then they want to know everything.
But I guess the key thing about getting out of it is being proactive around, and this is especially the case, right, when people leave the country.
Yes. Yeah. So quite often when people leave the country, they will assume, well, I've done everything that I need to do. So I see you later.
And also people often think that, I think, when we're helping them, I mean, obviously we flag it so that we make sure that we get the filing requirement withdrawn. But people, I think, can often think, oh, I've done a split year tax treatment. HMRC, no, I've left. And so surely, therefore, it should automatically go away. But that's not how it works.
No, unfortunately not. And again, if you haven't, for example, if you've moved, quite often we get people who've left the UK, maybe haven't notified HMRC where they're off to, maybe in their tax return they haven't provided the new address, and they don't find or they've gone to a country. There's certain countries in the world where the postal system's a bit rubbish.
Like the UK.
Well, I'd say
Spain. They're always complaining in Spain, aren't they?
Spain, South Africa. There's a few countries where they generally moan.
Apparently it's very good in Mongolia. They use the what three word system.
Do they?
Yeah, for their whole postal system.
Well, you learn something new every day.
Yeah.
But you might find that actually you don't get the post through until all of a sudden you're £1,600 worth of penalties in, and all of a sudden you're going, ah, I did not realise what was going on.
And I think the other thing, just on that, so for people who get into that situation, we've got all four or five active ones at the moment of people we're helping to unravel that situation. I think it's worth making the point that, I was speaking to a nice chap called George from HMRC the other day. He was very, very friendly and very helpful, which made me think I'd perhaps rung the wrong number. I was in a conversation with him about, okay, well, this person doesn't really need to do a tax return, but they've got to do one. Because we've raised a filing requirement.
Yeah.
And I think they'll only pull a filing requirement if it's for one of the years, am I right, where you can amend it. So at the moment, if you've been issued with a 23-24,
yeah,
they will withdraw that because you can still go and amend a 23-24 tax return. But for any years before that, they reckon that if they've issued it, the only way to make the whole thing go away is to file the tax return.
Yes, I can't quite remember the specific.
Well, that's what George told me.
I think I was going to say it was definitely a 2 years. I just couldn't remember whether it's 2 years from the end of the tax year or two years from when it
should
be filed.
But I guess the point,
it's a
right,
relatively short window.
And you end up like, I've got this poor pensioner in Ireland who we have to do 7 tax returns for her because they've got filing requirements open. And he's like, no, I can't make them go away until you filed the tax returns. And only once you filed the tax returns and the whole system has got up to speed will they even think about any penalty appeals. So it's quite an onerous process. So it really is to flag, like, get your filing requirement withdrawn if you're leaving.
I was going to say onerous and costly as well. Like, if you get into support with it, like, 7 tax returns, it's not going to be
cheap.
Even if they are fairly blank.
Well, there's quite a lot of admin just about doing them, isn't there?
Yeah, and, you know, declaring residence and, yeah, and then penalty appeals, etc. So it's far easier and better for the soul, better for relaxing to know that it's dealt with upfront.
Yeah, and it's one of those things that if you go and search online for, like, what do I have to do when I leave the country, you know, there's a gov.uk page on it. Nothing in there at all about if you've got a filing requirement, make sure it's gone away. And that's why so many people have that problem. And to your point, it's that whole thing of, like, the system just generates the penalties and the system generates the filing requirement. And it doesn't say they had a filing requirement last year, they didn't do a tax return. Well, let's just issue them with another one this year. And it's just, like, completely nonsensical in that sense.
Yeah.
So we're now in the process of really getting into the depths of our busiest time of year. We're sort of 2 months out from the end of the tax return season. But you can do your tax return right from the 6th of April, as soon as the new tax year starts. Why might people not want to do that?
So I spoke to somebody the other day who had suggested that they didn't want to file their tax return until January because they didn't want to make payment until January. And that's a bit of a misnomer because the fact is, regardless of when you file your tax return, the tax isn't due, unless you've got payments on account, the tax isn't due until the 31st of January. So actually getting it filed earlier makes more sense because then you've got an understanding of what your tax liability is going to be.
Yeah, you can at least plan for it.
But yeah.
As I always say to one of my pensioner clients, she's very, very concerned about her tax position. And I was like, but don't give it to them before you need to give it to them.
Yeah.
As it turned out, she didn't have a tax liability. So yeah. She was very chuffed. But yeah.
The other reasons you might want to file earlier. So if you've got a liability, you want to know what it is. If you've got a refund, you want it back as soon as possible because on the face of it, unless it's pulled for additional checks, when you submit your tax return, the refund will usually hit your bank, assuming you've got a UK bank account that you provided the information, usually hit your bank within 2 to 4 weeks of the return being filed. And if you are in the payments on account system, meaning that you have to pay on the 31st of January and the 31st of July, then actually if your liability is lower in the current year compared to the year before, it would in principle reduce your payments on account. So getting it filed before the 31st of July can make sense. Yeah, from a cash flow perspective.
And just on payments on account, I think that's often one that people know that they exist, but it's one that can sometimes, especially when we're doing disclosures and we have to do interest calculations, it sometimes blows my head up figuring out what the payment on account should have been when we're looking back over multiple years.
Yeah.
So payments on account are essentially where you have a tax liability of a certain size. They effectively want you to pay next year's tax bill early, effectively. You just want to go through exactly how it works, because I would do, but I've forgotten.
So so you have a tax liability for a particular year. Assuming it's more than £1,000 and more than 20% of your total tax bill for the whole year, then that's when HMRC will start going, okay, you need to make payments on account. Let's use this year as an example, just for ease and to put some colour to it. So you'd have your tax liability, let's say it's £2,000, that's due the 31st of January 2026. HMRC will then say, we want you to make payments on account for the 25-26 tax year. Now, normally that liability for 25-26 tax year wouldn't be due until the 31st of January 2027. But what they'll say, because they want payments on account making, is they want, so they'll assume that £2,000 that's due 31st of January 2026 would also be due for the 25-26 tax year. And they'll say, right, well, we want 50% of that, so £1,000, paying at the same time as you pay your tax liability
for the 24-25 year.
Yeah. So that means you end up paying 2,000 plus the 1,000, so a total of 3,000, 31st of January 2026. You then pay an extra £1,000 on the 31st of July 2026. And then say, for example, in the for 25-26, you end up actually having a £3,000 liability. You'd then have a balancing payment of £1,000 that would be due for 31st of January 2027. But
I hope people are making notes on all these days.
Yeah, but assuming that was the case, you've then got, if you had a liability of £3,000, yes, you've got a balancing payment of £1,000 on 31st January.
But your payments on account for the whatever the next year is goes to £1,500.
So you'd end up having to pay £2,500. So it's one of those where it stings the first time you get into it, but actually it's not.
It sort of runs itself out, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Interesting point, though, that crocked up. I was doing a tax return for someone who works for a tech company, and they'd sold a load of shares and had a walloping capital gains tax bill.
Yeah.
Capital gains tax doesn't calculate into payments on account.
No, capital gains tax is not included in payments on account. Class 2 national insurance, I believe, is not included in payments on account. Student loan payments are not included in payments on account.
Yeah, so it's not all, it's the way to think about it is, if you have recurring income that's not being taxed, that's where it comes in.
Yeah.
But yeah, for one-offs like capital gains tax, that won't impact it. Because I've had clients who are like, oh my God, I've got a 20,000 quid capital gains tax bill. Does that mean I'm going to have to pay, you know, 10,000 quid on these two, you know, as additional? And it's good that that's not included.
Agreed.
So yeah, that sort of gives a good overview, I think, of how the self-assessment tax return system works. And as I say, it's been interesting because we spend a lot of our time going into detail on, you know, pilot taxation and, you know, things that we find more complicated. But actually, self-assessment has its pitfalls. So hopefully that'll be helpful for viewers to really figure out what they need to do. And as I say, just recently, there seems to have been a real uptick in people realizing they're still in the system and having fines, which is frustrating because it's like, it's boring stuff for us to sort out because it's very admin heavy. And as you said, it costs money. So yeah, if you've got further questions around self-assessment, then you know where to come, LSR Partners. Thanks for listening. Thanks for listening to the Tax Compass podcast brought to you by LSR Partners, where we help you pay the right tax in the right place at the right time. Book a call with us. Details are in the show notes.